From the studios of WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, this is Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, inviting you to meet our guests and be part of the discussion. On today's Coastline, we're asking, is Titan Cement part of a balanced approach to growth in the Cape Fear region? The news that Titan had plans to build and operate a cement plant in Castle Hayne, just outside of Wilmington, made headlines in April of 2008. It also quickly ignited passionate opposition, resulting in the formation of the group now known as the Stop Titan Action Network. Stop Titan claims there are serious concerns around having a cement plant in the area. Those concerns range from degradation of natural resources like wetlands, waterways, and air quality to grave human health concerns. Supporters of the cement plant say that the Stop Titan group puts out erroneous data and fuels the fire with emotion and fear, not fact-based arguments. Titan officials have said repeatedly that they'll construct the world's most advanced, environmentally responsible facility. The plant would be state-of-the-art and will not have the egregious effects on the environment and public health claimed by opponents. Titan also points to the economic boost a plant would offer the area, particularly in the form of high-paying, much-needed jobs. During today's show, we'll explore the environmental claims on both sides of the issue, as well as the potential for economic growth. The State Division of Air Quality granted Titan a permit last year. The Southern Environmental Law Center has filed a lawsuit challenging the legality of the permit on a number of grounds. And while a judge has thrown out some of the claims, the lawsuit is still pending. And it's because of the pending lawsuit currently in discovery that staff from the state's Division of Air Quality couldn't join us today. We should also point out that WHQR made exhaustive efforts to include representatives from Titan or someone who would speak on behalf of the company. All of our requests were declined, but we do have this statement. Carolina's Cement Company applauds WHQR's efforts to present a balanced approach to issues of importance to the greater Wilmington community through its new Coastline program. However, when presented with an opportunity to debate the issue of the proposed Carolina's cement plant with Craig Galbraith, we declined because we felt that regardless of WHQR's best efforts, a balanced perspective would not be provided. For more than 4 years, Titan America has commissioned toxicology studies, worked with the Department of Air Quality to meet strict air emissions, and consistently provided local media with the facts about the potential impacts of Carolina's cement. Despite all of the data that undisputedly states that Carolina's cement will operate well within all regulations to protect the environment and public health, opponents consistently turn a deaf ear to the facts of this project. For that reason, we cannot see that participating in a debate with Craig Galbraith, a longtime supporter of Stop Titan, would do anything to further educate the public and their understanding of this project, but would only provide a platform for Stop Titan and other anti-business groups to use fear, exaggeration, and unscientific claims to mislead your listeners. It is unfortunate, at a time when unemployment is still high in our Tri-County area, there continues to be efforts to undermine companies' ability to bring good-paying jobs and capital investment into New Hanover County. The public should question whether Galbraith's report was conducted in an unbiased, academically rigorous manner, since it was not peer-reviewed and its author has a long history as an active and outspoken member of the Stop Titan Action Network. Carolina Cement will create 1,000 construction jobs for the plant's 2 to 3 year build-out, 160 permanent plant jobs, and 350 ancillary jobs to support plant operations. Carolina Cement will be a good corporate neighbor, contribute $2 million annually to New Hanover County's tax base, and continue to be honored locally and nationally for our efforts to minimize emissions, promote a safe workplace, improve energy efficiency, and conserve natural resources. This plant will be the most efficient, environmentally safe cement plant in the world. Carolina Cement is committed to ensuring that public health, the aquifers, the Cape Fear River, and Island Creek will be protected throughout every step of this process. And this, again, was a prepared statement sent to us from Carolina Cement, from Bob Odom, General Manager for Carolina Cement. Joining us in the studio today, we have coastal scientist Tracy Scrable. Tracy runs the Wilmington office of the North Carolina Coastal Federation, an environmental advocacy group. The Federation is an environmental watchdog group for the state's rivers, creeks, sounds, and beaches, and also engages in public education and outreach on environmental issues. Tracy has a master's in marine science and a bachelor of science in geology from William & Mary. She's worked with the Virginia Institute of Marine Science and the Delaware Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control. She's also worked as a private consultant, and she spent more than 17 years in coastal policy and planning and implementing conservation projects. Tracy, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Great to have you here. Also with us today is Kate Quirum. Kate covers the environment and health for the Star News. She's reported on the progression of the Titan cement issue from multiple angles since her arrival in Wilmington in 2011. Welcome, Kate.
Thanks.
Great to have you here. During the next hour, we invite you, our listeners, to join this discussion with your questions and comments about Titan and the role it could play in the development of the Cape Fear region. If you support having a Titan cement plant in Castlehaine, we'd like to hear from you. If you're opposed to it, tell us why. Give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to talk@whqr.org. You can also tweet us at #HQRTalk. Tracy Scrable, let's start with how the firestorm arose over this issue in the first place. Tell us about the Stop Titan Action Network. What is it and who makes it up?
Sure. Well, as most folks know, we all received, the public received about 2 days' notice way back in 2008 that this was going to be considered in the New Hanover County Commission office. And we received that information from one of the commissioners. So within 2 days, over 200 people showed up at that meeting. Those were not all Coastal Federation members. I wish they were. But it was the beginning of what really grew into a coalition of, I would call them, true grassroots groups. The Friends of the Lower Cape Fear were the first group that formed themselves, and these were all residents of the area. The Citizens Against Titan is another group that still is working on the issue. We joined the North Carolina Coastal Federation along with other professional organizations like the Southern Environmental Law Center, Cape Fear River Watch, Pender Watch Conservancy, Sierra Club, and the Duke Law and Policy Clinic. We joined that effort really through fundraising. And because we each brought a certain skill set to the evaluation of this proposal. So the actual mantra of Stop Titan really was formed by citizens as a website to disseminate information that we were all funneling and sharing to try to get factual information and evaluate it and provide that information to the public. So it really was by and for citizens. That effort has grown as we've been able to bring in professional fundraising sources from Education Foundation of America and others. And so we've been able to, if you will, expand that service of providing information through StopTitan.org. But it really is not an organization, so to speak. It is an umbrella website, and we all work on the issue and provide that information to the citizens.
So you were talking about this well-organized opposition pretty much from the beginning of the announcement about a Titan cement plant coming here. That was announced in April, the formation of this sort of group of...
I wouldn't say that it was instantaneous. I would say the concern was instantaneous, both about the process and about what little we knew at that time about cement plants.
But it began with opposition, which is interesting, because did it start out as a fact-finding effort, or was
Yes.
this just, no, we have to stop this?
No, my experience with these citizens were that they were afraid by what little we knew and the fact that $4.2 million had exchanged hands as incentives without what we could tell any comprehensive evaluation of environmental effects. And folks like Sierra Club have been working on their coal campaign for years, so we already knew that coal-fired plants had these potential impacts. So it didn't take very long to find out that this type of heavy industry was concerning and should be evaluated comprehensively, and that's really what our efforts have been about. So I will be honest and say that we are opposed to this plant, but it is based on our scientific evaluation.
Kate Quirum of the Star News, as you've covered this issue, who have you found, aside from Titan officials, of course, to be supporters of the idea of a cement plant coming here?
You get a lot. I find that most of their supporters come from people who are business-minded and are interested in job creation and bringing industry to New Hanover County. I know one of their big concerns is if we turn away businesses like that, it may become not a destination for more business to come, which is a concern. And there have also been some people that the plant, the site, was previously in operation as a cement plant under a different company. And you have some people who still live in that area and are out of work and would love to potentially work there again. So that, in my experience, is the two groups.
Titan still has a number of permits to acquire, and there's a lawsuit challenging Titan's air quality permit. We just have a little bit of time left before we go to the first break. But Tracy, what is that lawsuit about?
Well, we appealed the organizations that I membered and that I mentioned. A number of them, represented by SELC, appealed the permit because, quite simply, we feel that the Division of Air Quality did not do all that they could do to ensure that Titan used the best available technology to protect our human health in this community. And given that fact, they should have denied the permit application.
We're going to get more deeply into that and into some of the environmental issues when we come back. You are listening to Coastline. The phone lines are now open. Tell us whether you think a Titan cement plant is part of a balanced approach to growth in the Cape Fear region. Give us a call at 343-1138. Send us an email to talk@whqr.org or tweet us at #HQRTalk. This is Coastline. Welcome back to Coastline. We're talking about whether a Titan cement plant is part of a balanced approach to growth in the Cape Fear region. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, joined in the studio by the Coastal Federation's Tracy Scrable and Star News reporter Kate Quirum. Kate, you actually weren't in Wilmington at the time, but in 2008, there was an attempt by the Star News to organize a public forum to talk about this issue. What happened with that?
Okay, so it was about 2 months after they first announced that they wanted to come here. It was in June. And Titan, the Star News reached out to Titan. They were very involved in the planning process. And the basic premise was that it was going to be a six-person panel, three people from Titan and three people with concerns about Titan. And they were going to have a moderated discussion with questions submitted to the paper. And then there was going to be an audience Q&A. And the whole thing was going to be at UNCW. And they agreed initially and then backed out because they had concerns about security and about the format. And it was kind of a back and forth. They said they didn't want to do it. Then they came back. But eventually the concerns about, I think particularly security, I think there were concerns that the audience questions could get out of hand, which the paper didn't totally understand because UNCW was going to provide security at the event. And so it was canceled. And then the Titan representative said they would be happy to do it again at a later date if they could be more involved in the planning process. And the paper said no.
So that was the end of that.
Yes.
Give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to talk@whqr.org. We want to hear from you on whether you support a Titan cement plant as part of a balanced approach to growth in the Cape Fear region. We do have Deborah who has a question. Deborah, good afternoon. You're on the air and welcome to Coastline.
Thank you so much, and I am a supporter of public radio, and congratulations on your debut. My concern, and I would like to have, I consider myself being a fair person as far as having a balanced approach. How can I be assured with minorities being able to get these so-called jobs? Because it doesn't seem to be a very balanced approach when it comes to that. Specifically, a lot of toxins, in the whole greater in the United States is always in a poor area. So how would we be safeguarded? And a lot of people who don't have a lot of they have to go to work, so they cannot stay up on this. How can we be assured that it's in their best interest? And if they create jobs, how can they be assured if job creation is part of the capitalist plan? How would they be? How would that be entertained? So I'll take my question, any answer you have off air.
Thanks so much, Deborah. Tracy, it sounds like Deborah is going down the road of the environmental justice issue.
Correct.
And saying what happens with these communities when you potentially have the disenfranchised and minority populations that may not be as well organized. What would you say to Deborah?
I would say that she is correct to be concerned that this type of industry has typically located in exactly those kind of communities, and that's where the term environmental justice comes from. We feel that that is definitely a factor here, and that the community of Castle Hayne is one of the lower income communities in the region and also the last undeveloped quadrant in our county. So I think she is correct to be concerned. As far as who's going to get the jobs, we're all asking that question, and I think Dr. Galbraith will speak a little bit to that. They mentioned 160 jobs. His analysis shows that it's really going to be more like 48 jobs in New Hanover County. Titan is actually only operating at 35% of their capabilities in Florida. And what that means is that they're essentially laid off for months at a time when the plant shuts down, because really the economy, and we're in overproduction of cement right now, the jobs may or may not be all that they're promised.
And we are going to get into a very detailed discussion of the economics around this issue in another segment. And it's interesting because I'm seeing a lot of emails coming in that are asking questions about jobs and how it's going to impact the economy. But Tracy, while we have you here, and we don't have you for the whole show, so
right,
let's get into some of these environmental issues. You've mentioned before that there are so many environmental concerns from where you sit as a coastal scientist. What are some of the biggest concerns?
Well, we don't have time. You could go on about many of them, but they run the gamut from air quality concerns. We are, as a county, from the toxic release inventory, we're the number one county in the state for toxic releases, and Titan is proposing to emit an extraordinarily large, in my opinion, amount of toxins into our air and our water. So we're very concerned about the emissions to the air and to the water. We have groundwater concerns. The only information we have from them is that they wish to withdraw 8 to 16 million gallons of water each day from the Cape Fear River from our aquifers. The analysis that we have been able to do, just what are the potential impacts, show that we should be concerned about the fact that area wells, that there is a drawdown effect that will occur at those rates, and that we may have negative impacts on adjacent wells, on the New Hanover County's nano treatment plant, which is 6 miles away from this location. We have existing chromium contamination of the adjacent plant that has been contained for decades through a pumping and containing process. When you get the type of cone of depression and drawdown that could potentially happen, those contaminants could start to move. Likewise, we have a shallow contamination layer of one of our aquifers and a deeper uncontaminated layer. And when you start to get, again, this type of withdrawals, it's probable or possible that you could start to see drawdowns and contamination of that lower, currently uncontaminated layer. So we have a number of concerns. Wetlands. Titan proposes to destroy and damage hundreds, if not thousands, we don't know the exact number yet, of high-quality wetlands, and some prior converted.
And actually, let's go back to the air quality issue, okay, because you do bring up a lot of stuff here. And when it comes to air quality, I spoke with someone at the Division of Air Quality, and one of the issues with misinformation that he raises when it comes to the information that Stop Titan puts out versus what he calls the facts, right, are the whole idea behind the definition of air quality. Air quality is a very different thing from emissions. And he says, again, this is a spokesperson from the Division of Air Quality, that you can't just add up the emissions, come up with that number, and boom, that equals your air quality. Right. This region has more rainfall than the rest of the state. Because we're on the coast, winds blow more consistently, and that actually has diffusive effects that improve the air quality by a great deal. And he actually told me that New Hanover County is tied with Swain County, which is a small county in the mountainous part of the state, for the lowest levels of ozone, the lowest levels. And New Hanover County is also tied with Watauga County, another small mountain county, for particle pollution. What would you say to that?
Well, that is not what we find when we look at the data, and I have these sheets on particulate matter, on sulfur dioxide, on nitrous oxides. These are the things that precursors to ozone and the other contaminants, the particulate matter. We show New Hanover ranking first for sulfur dioxide and fifth for particulate matter, and Titan would increase some of these by the fine particulate matter. That's the PM, the smallest that get drawn deep into the lungs. Titan would increase those emissions by over 30%, so almost a third. It concerns me that he would say basically that dilution is a solution to air pollution, which just is not supported by science. It is for that reason that there are emissions, and then there are climate factors that we encourage the state strongly to do an independent health risk assessment. Basically, look at all those factors. They refused, and we felt that it was in the best interest of the citizens, so we were able to fund that independent health risk assessment. And the results of that study showed that, in fact, we would have significant health effects with Titan's emissions as proposed and permitted. Even though Titan says that they're going to contain 98%, what they're not going to contain equals about 29,000 pounds each day of harmful pollutants that will be emitted.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Coastline. We're talking about whether a Titan cement plant is part of a balanced approach to growth in the Cape Fear region. We specifically want to hear from folks who are supporters of the idea of a Titan cement plant coming here. The number to call is 343-1138. You can also send us an email to talk@whqr.org. Now, Kate, we've talked about destruction of wetlands, and that's one of the concerns of the Stop Titan group. I believe that Titan Cement put out a statement that talks about wetland mitigation and how wetlands will actually be greater once the mitigation is complete and be in better condition. They'll be better quality wetlands. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I know I think this is both a federal and a state regulation that if you're going to destroy or harm wetlands, you have to replace them, so to speak. And Titan, their stance on the wetland thing is that that's going to be addressed through the Army Corps of Engineers environmental impact statement, which comes after the air permit, and it's a two-year process where they work with the Corps to kind of get the right permits. But Titan has said that they're going to, in that mitigation process, create actually more than they would destroy, and that a lot of the wetlands that they'll create will be sort of a better quality than the ones that are currently there.
What do you say to that, Tracy?
Well, first of all, I'm a wetland scientist, and I don't think you would find any research or data that supports the notion that mitigated wetlands can replace natural wetlands in any fashion. And I do wetlands restoration, coastal marsh primarily. But when Titan first started what we call the scoping process 3 years ago, and they came to the table and proposed their wetlands impacts, generally speaking, a number of state and federal agencies who deal with these wetlands sent in very strongly worded letters, including U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, who said that the resources in the Cape Fear River that they would be damaging are unmitigable. And that's very strong language. You don't see that very often in comment letters. We would share that concern. These are very unique and high-quality wetlands resources along the Cape Fear River.
We have an email from Bob who says, I say we let Titan proceed, but watch it closely, regulate it, and profit from it. And we do have a caller. Alex, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Hi. How do you do? I have a question about the or comment about the jobs that they're promising. As far as what experience I have with these big union jobs, is even before the Internet, word would get out. People would come as far as Seattle when they hear of the word that these big jobs are going to open up. And with a job this size and with the economy the way it is, I could tell you people will come far and wide, and it can easily attract far more people than it can employ, some of them spending their last dollars to get here and be then left here competing for the other jobs. And as far as giving jobs to locals, I don't think there's any legal basis for them being able to offer or promise any kind of favoritism in that respect. So I would say that it can actually increase unemployment in the area.
So you think it'll actually have a detrimental effect on the local economy?
Well, I think it'll have a detrimental effect in the local economy in a lot of ways. Just in the long term, it is going to affect, you know, prospective people looking to come here and, you know, settle here, you know, with the notion of this large industry, large dirty industry, which is going to be thousands of acres. I can imagine it'd be the biggest thing you'd see flying in or driving in. But that's long term. I'm saying short term, it can actually increase unemployment because it can easily draw more people to those, the hope of those jobs, especially in this economy, than it can offer. And those, a lot of those people will be stuck here or left here competing for the other jobs, other construction jobs in the area.
Alex, thanks so much for your call. We're going to actually get more deeply into that discussion in
okay,
the next
thank
segment.
You.
Thanks so much. Now, Tracy, one of the issues that you raised, groundwater issues and the aquifer. For those of us who aren't so familiar with the jargon, can you talk a little bit about the aquifer that would be drawn from if this cement plant was up and running?
Sure. We have two aquifers here, the Castlehaine Aquifer and the Petey Aquifers. Those are interrelated, and as it's described to me by a professional, I am a geologist, a professional groundwater geologist. It's a bit like Swiss cheese around here. But Titan needs to draw from those aquifers for their mine dewatering. And at the depths that they're proposing, we have been told by professional geologists, groundwater geologists, and hydrologists that we can expect that that could potentially adversely affect our local wells and regional groundwater supplies. They will create what's called a cone of depression, a drawdown of those existing aquifer levels, and that should be anticipated to create those types of problems that I mentioned to you before. The well field that I mentioned, the nanomembrane water treatment plant that exists up in this area that began operation in 2009. This also, that field uses the Castlehaine and Petey aquifers, and there have already been concerns about regional water level declines in the Petey aquifer, so we're very concerned that this could increase those concerns.
In a case like this, how would a cement plant, and this is for either of you, Kate Queerum from the Star News and Tracy Scrable, coastal scientist with the North Carolina Coastal Federation, how would a company track and report industrial water usage? How does that work?
Well, I actually have been part of a statewide panel looking at water resource allocation issues, and surprisingly, they do not have to report or apply for. I mean, there are permits that are needed for different aspects of discharging, but our groundwater resources are pretty much first come, first serve from what we can gather in our analysis of this. And this was a study group put together by North Carolina Sea Grant and UNC Law School.
One of the other issues that your group has raised is output of mercury, and mercury into the air and mercury into the waterways. Isn't the Cape Fear River already compromised? And wouldn't Titan have to prove that the operation of this plant would not take us over the top in terms of acceptable mercury levels?
Correct. The Cape Fear River and most of our rivers are now what's called impaired for mercury. Mercury is a very powerful neurotoxin that affects a number of different health, causes health effects, especially in children and unborn fetuses. And yes, we are very concerned. They are proposing to emit 46 pounds, which is doesn't sound like a lot, but is an extraordinarily large amount. We're also concerned that prior to EPA passing new standards for mercury, they were permitted in the draft permit to release 160 pounds. Once those new standards were in place, then they said they were able to only emit 46. So our question was, why they didn't develop new technology, why were they asking for 160 pounds and then 46 pounds?
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Coastal Federation's Tracy Scrable and the Star News reporter Kate Queerum about whether a cement plant is part of a balanced approach to growth in the Cape Fear region. Coming up in just a few moments, we'll explore how a Titan cement plant will or will not contribute to economic growth in the region. And we'll have more of your calls and emails coming up after the break. You can give us a call at 343-1138, send an email to talk@whqr.org, or tweet us at #HQRTalk. You're listening to Coastline. Welcome back to Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, and I'm joined now in the studios by Dr. Craig Galbraith. Dr. Galbraith teaches business at UNCW's Cameron School of Business and the Edinburgh Business School in Scotland. He holds a PhD in management and mathematical economics from Purdue University and an MBA in manufacturing management and an MS in molecular biology. He recently published an economic impact study that counters previous claims about the number of new jobs a Titan cement plant would bring to the area, along with the breadth of economic development the project would provide. Dr. Galbraith, welcome to Coastline.
Well, good afternoon.
Also, still with us in the studio, Kate Queerum, environment and health reporter for the Star News. Welcome back, Kate.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Great to have both of you here. We're talking today about whether a Titan cement plant is part of balanced approach to growth in the Cape Fear region. And Dr. Galbraith, before we get to the jobs question about Titan, and that's what I keep hearing, I'm getting emails coming in one after the other, questions about jobs. Let's talk about your methodology. You essentially debunked an earlier study about the number of jobs and the economic impact, the study done in 2008. What was the problem with that study?
Well, I think there were several things. First of all, the original study, I think, was done very quickly and primarily done at the request to look at whether there should be some sort of incentives provided. I don't believe that Titan funded that particular study at all. I think it was a very, very quick study. That was certainly presented with statements such as the 160 jobs was going to create about 720 new jobs and a number of other things like that. I do a lot of work in economic development. I've done a number of economic impact studies. I've been a planning commissioner and an economic development commissioner for about 20 or 30 years. So I've seen a lot of these economic impact studies, and I know that most of them tend to be political because they're very positive, they're very optimistic, and they're used primarily to present to government agencies. And so I had a lot of concerns because I knew that there were a number of ways to look at economic impact.
Great. Let's actually take a call. It looks like we have a number of calls coming in. Welcome, Jim. Welcome to Coastline. You're on the air. Jim, are you there?
Hello, this is Don.
Hi, Don. Did you have a question?
I did. As a resident and small business owner here in the Wilmington area, I am concerned about the jobs and the need for the jobs that Titan would be bringing in. But regardless if it's 160 or only 40-some jobs, as might be shown, I think it really pales in comparison to the opportunities we have in our area to bring in corporations such as Castle Branch, the employment screening firm that's been in the news lately. Currently, they're employing 200 employees here in Wilmington and looking at bringing in 400 additional. And quite honestly, without any compromising of our environment. And if I'm a CEO of a company looking to relocate somewhere, I've got to make sure that the environment and the area is attractive to potential employees, or else I'm going to have a hard time bringing in qualified and top-level people into my organization. So it's
Don, you've actually gone to one of the conclusions of Dr. Galbraith's study, which is that having heavy industry in an area like this can actually repel other desirable industries. Is that right, Dr. Galbraith?
That's correct. I think a lot of people forget that business, by its very nature of economic activity, certainly can have very positive. We can create jobs, we can create economic growth, but every business has also a potential of negative aspects. And in economics, we call those negative externalities, the sort of things that a business can do or may do as part of their economic activity that impacts negatively the people that surround them. For example, a garbage dump. You know, if you put a garbage dump, it's going to affect the people that surround that particular activity. When you're looking at economic development, we know, in fact, economic development is probably one of the most studied aspects of economics because everybody's interested in it. And we know what causes economic development. And one of the things that we do know is that there are certain types of industries that tend to create more jobs as the jobs ripple through the economy. And those tend to be the cleaner industries, the high-tech industries, the research and development, the financial sectors. Other very important job-creating type of sectors would be tourism because the money is coming into the area. So that's good. Or other industries that may export their products outside the industry. Certain industries don't have a lot of these negative externalities. Other type of industries, they may add jobs, but they have a lot of negative effects. And so you really have to look at the balance of these things when looking at overall economic development.
Let's take another phone call. I think we actually do have Jim on the line now. Is that right? You're on the air, Jim. Welcome to Coastline.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I think my question actually was for Tracy, and again, and maybe your daughter can help. Was along the lines of the environment, if there were studies done that would compare, like let's say a company like Corning that obviously has EPA regulations, is using natural resources, is putting stuff out into our area, versus the numbers of employees that they have. I didn't know if anyone had looked at a study to do a comparison to the degree of, you know, the number of jobs that Titan is going to bring in versus a company, yeah, I know Castle Branch is inside, they're at desks, but a company like Corning that does employ thousands of people, and I didn't know if what the dramatic effect of that was, and I'll take the answer off the air.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Well, I can certainly answer that to some extent. First of all, it's a very good question because the method that was used in the original Titan economic impact study, which is also the method that's used in most economic impact studies, uses a mathematical program, a computer program, which is called Implant, which simply looks at the positive, the fact that you spend a dollar within a community, how that ripples throughout the community. That, by the way, is very, very important, but it does only look at the positive aspects, and not actually all the positives, but doesn't look at any of the negative impacts. There was a very important study that was done in Georgia, actually, a couple years ago, where the authors of the study basically said, well, let's look at the real data. Let's go in and actually look at plant relocations as well as expansions by high tech, by low tech, by manufacturing, by heavy industry, and actually see what the impact on employment was within those particular communities. And it turned out, particularly for heavy manufacturing, and of course, when we talk about cement manufacturing, we're talking about heavy manufacturing, that it had a much, much lower impact. In fact, it was an impact less than one, which means that for every job that's created in heavy manufacturing based upon the Georgia study, there might be only 0.8 or 0.4 or 0.5 actual jobs because some people would move out of the community.
And I actually want to circle back to that in a moment. But, Kate, we left off earlier talking about mercury emissions.
Right.
And Tracy was explaining what some of the concerns were on the environmental side about that. Can you talk about that?
Sure. The biggest concern with mercury that's been the number that's been tossed around a lot is that 46 pounds.
Yes.
And Titan really takes issue with that number being thrown around. And actually, the air quality people don't like it when they reference that number either, because 46 pounds is the amount that the facility would be likely to produce if it was operating at 100% all the time.
Right.
And as Tracy mentioned, their plant in Florida is only at 35%. And because the economy is still struggling and construction is still down, the plant here is pretty unlikely to be operating at that level. And according to Tom Mather, who's the spokesman for air quality, the vast majority of plants with these permits operate and emit much lower than they're actually allowed to.
And so some of those numbers are the maximum numbers that we're talking about,
right,
as you
exactly.
said, and that would not necessarily be the reality.
Right.
Now, Ellen from Wilmington sent an email, and she asks how this plant would affect our tourism and film industries. And I think, Dr. Galbraith, you've talked around that a little bit. But what about the whole idea of a balanced approach to economic growth? Isn't Castlehaine, isn't this particular area already an industrial area? Isn't it already zoned for heavy industry? So what else would go in there?
Well, it is certainly zoned for heavy industry. Now, that doesn't mean that just heavy industry could go there. And again, when you look at the overall planning for a community, particularly an area that has changed dramatically in its economic profile over the last 30 or 40 or 50 years, certainly Wilmington at one time in the war period, as well as the 1950s, was primarily a heavy industry manufacturing type of environment. The advantage that we have, and this is very, very important to understand, is that we have the characteristics here within this community, for example, that a Federal Reserve Board study of tourism and people who come in and visit a particular area and spend their money and then come back and live in an area, we have a lot of the characteristics that attracts tourists. We have a lot of the characteristics that attracts technology-based, financial-based type of industries. We have a downtown community. We're near the beach. We're a port community. We have a large arts community and a recreational aspects and so forth. There are certain things that we don't have. And one of the things we have to be very, very careful is not to create a profile that would discourage the sort of economic activity that actually does lead to much, much greater multiplier effects for jobs. For example, technology and financial services and tourism have multiplier effects of about 3 to 4. So each job creates an additional 3 to 4 jobs because of spending characteristics. Where in heavy manufacturing, it does create jobs, but substantially less.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Coastline. We're talking with Dr. Craig Galbraith, professor at UNCW's Cameron School of Business, and Kate Quirum, reporter at the Star News, about whether a Titan cement plant is part of a balanced approach to growth in the Cape Fear region. Now, I understand there was a fairly recent study done on real estate values in the area around the Roanoke, Virginia cement plant. And that study seems to show that real estate values in that area either held steady or increased. What do you say to that, Dr. Galbraith?
Well, I'd certainly have to read the study and see how it was done. One would have to normalize for all the other activities that certainly affects real estate values. I mean, certainly real estate has had its up and down over the last 3 to 4 years. Generally, from what I've seen from other studies that have looked at real estate values within a surrounding area, is that it has heavy manufacturing or any industry that has a large negative externality. It doesn't have to be heavy manufacturing, but anything that's going to create a negative externality, whether it's environmental concerns or congestion concerns, will generally have a negative impact on real estate values.
And just one of the things, I want to go back to the fact that Titan representatives or people to speak on behalf of Titan were invited here multiple times and they declined. They did send a lengthy statement that we read at the top of the show. I believe the statement is also posted on our website at whqr.org. But one of the issues that they take, Dr. Galbraith, with having you here is the fact that you've been an outspoken member of the Stop Titan Action Network.
Oh, I have nothing to do with Stop Titan. In fact, I just found out last week that my name is even on their website, and it's not on the website as anything associated with it, just identified as a concerned individual. My involvement with economic issues related to Titan is that I get very concerned when I see organizations, whether they're private organizations or whether public organizations, presenting economic impact studies that I know are flawed. I think economic impact studies are very important. People make decisions based upon these economic impact studies. They generate opinions about what is happening within the community. The planners use this. And environmental impact studies take a long time. It's mandated by law. We spend, you know, a lot of time and effort on the environmental aspect. There's no such requirement on economic impact studies. And sometimes that is equally important to the decision-making process. And so I get very concerned when I see that sort of thing. And as a planner and somebody very interested in economic development and who does a lot of publication in economic development, I'm also very concerned about the role that industry has in the overall economic development within this community. I've lived here for 20 years. I plan on retiring here, and I do want to see economic development. I'm a business professor. I've run businesses. I'm, you know, very, very pro job growth and economic development. But sometimes, as a planner, you have to say no to certain things.
343-1138 is the number to call if you'd like to weigh in on whether a Titan cement plant should be a part of this region. We hear so much, Dr. Galbraith and Kate Quirum, about a balanced approach to growth in the region. So if we don't have heavy industry here, where does it go? Do we stop using cement? Are we taking a not-in-my-backyard kind of approach? Is that realistic?
I think one of the concerns that people who support the plant have is that Wilmington and New Hanover County have kind of missed out on a lot of industry opportunities in the past few years. There was, I believe, a tire company that was considering coming here, and there was at least one more, and they both ended up going not just out of county, but out of state.
That's right.
And so I believe one of the concerns people have is that if we continue to be this kind of inhospitable environment for industry, they may never come here.
What would you say to that, Dr. Galbraith?
Well, I think that's not true. I think that there's a myth out there that incentives create economic growth. There are plenty of studies to show that incentives do not create economic growth. What really creates economic growth is a particular community and whether it's attractive to industry within that particular sector to move into that particular area. We know that, and that's a very important fact to understand. Again, as a planner, you want to make the community most attractive to the type of industries that you want to come into that particular community. It turns out that this particular area does have a very fragile economy. When you actually look at the economic structure of the Wilmington area, it's really driven by three sectors. And one of those sectors actually is heavy manufacturing. We do have a very large component of heavy manufacturing here. You've identified some of the companies already. We have Corning. We have General Electric.
Right.
So we do have a very large manufacturing sector here. The other two sectors that drive this economy are, again, tourism and then other amenity-based sort of things such as the arts, the restaurants that are clearly related, as well as real estate construction. Those last two sectors are driven by the amenities and essentially how attractive a community is. We are very, very low in other components, which are very important to a balanced economy. And those balanced economy or economic sectors, again, are the financial sectors, the research and development, the high technology. And again, those sectors are actually looking for a place like Wilmington that's attractive and has the potential of developing in those particular areas. So the balance isn't on the heavy manufacturing side. The lack of balance is actually on the elements and the sectors that we do want to bring in that tend to have higher multiple in terms of creating job growth as well as clean economic activity.
Okay.
All these things that you're mentioning, and please tell me if I'm wrong, like the restaurants, the downtown, the being close to the beach, that's all very Wilmington-centric. And the Titan, for example, would be in Castle Hayne, which is northern New Hanover County. So do you still think that that has a negative effect, even though the plant wouldn't be visible from Wilmington and people, you know, coming here for tourism purposes probably wouldn't even know that it's there?
Well, that's a very good point. In fact, I think it's very important to understand that when you read my report or read any economic development type of issue, there's nothing wrong with cement manufacturing. I'm all in favor of cement manufacturing. Any economy has to have cement manufacturing. And in fact, cement manufacturing in Titan has many of the characteristics that would lead to positive economic growth. The issue is the negative externalities. And the question is, can in a relatively small county such as this be able to sustain in terms of what we're trying to grow to in the future another heavy manufacturing plant of the nature that we're talking about? It's not that cement manufacturing is bad. It's just that we have to have it in the right place.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us. There's still so much left to talk about on this topic. I feel like we only scratched the surface. Our guests today on Coastline have been Tracy Scrable, coastal scientist from the North Carolina Coastal Federation, Kate Quirum, Star News reporter, and Dr. Craig Galbraith, professor at UNCW's Cameron School of Business. Thanks to all of you for joining us today. Join us next week for Coastline when we explore how tax modernization at the state level could affect the Cape Fear region. Coastline is produced by Asia Brown and Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Cleve Callison is the executive producer. Lindsay McGrath is our call screener. Asia Brown is our board operator. And John Mortara is our technical coordinator and webmaster. Heartfelt thanks to all of you who called, emailed, and tweeted us today. We're always glad to have you join the conversation here on Coastline.